If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There's far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. And you count far more to him than birds. Has anyone by fussing in front of the mirror ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop, but have you ever seen colour and design quite like it? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes.
Thank you, Kelly. So it's... It's funny because I didn't get to choose this passage, and it's about not worrying, and I was quite worried about tonight. And speaking, I was quite worried. We made a video, actually, that we're going to show you at the end, and I was worried that wasn't going to work. I was worried that Brian was going to heckle me. I was worried about all sorts of things. But what I want to do now is I want to go through what I think the passage is telling us, and then what I want to do after that, I had a kind of a plan, is why should we do it? And then the third thing was, how should we do it? So the bones of this message is all about priorities. It's from Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34. If we aren't worried, this is about trust and priorities. If we aren't worried, it's usually because we trust someone or something to act a certain way in a given situation. And the problem is, when worry and fear comes in, is when something unpredictable happens, or when there's uncertainty, and where something that seems set in concrete now isn't so. In the year 2000, I took part in a ministry school here called Tribal Training, which has evolved into DTN. And we went to Brazil, and we kind of had a night off, and we were off in the town, and we were heading back, and it was about 10:30 at night, and Brazil is quite a tough place. There would be kind of about, I'd say, 30 or 40 child murders in that city alone, let alone adult murders. They said that they would find 30 to 40 kids with their, say, hands tied behind their back, shot in the head, and they would be executed by the police or the shop owners who just wanted to get rid of the problem. They turn up in the canals and under bridges and stuff. So it's not actually a walk in the park. And they have these mini combi vans that kind of... do you know the ones I'm talking about, the mini combi vans? The Volkswagen vans? The really old ones. And what they do is, there's a driver, and he drives along the street. Now, this is a good thing, but not a bad thing, okay? And the driver drives along the street, and he has a guy, and it's kind of a sliding door, and he's leaning out, and he's shouting the destination of where he's going. So it's like, it's kind of sort of a taxi, okay? And so we all piled into this Volkswagen, and we said, we had thought he shouted Boa Vista, which was the street in Recife where we were staying. But it turned out that wasn't what he was saying at all. And so, like, they pack about 16 people into these things, you know, where they but only take about 8. And we start kind of heading away from the city centre, and we all started kind of throwing each other kind of looks like, this isn't the way home. And people were getting off, and eventually it was just us and the guy, and his caller guy. And your man was off his head on drugs. He had big eyes on him. And we just started getting out into the countryside, like 20-minute drive when it should have been a 5-minute driveway. And we all started kind of getting really nervous and started praying a lot in tongues and all sorts of things. And really saying to the guy, he kept saying, Boa Vista, Boa Vista. And he goes, yeah, yeah, Boa Vista, Boa Vista. But he was actually saying Paulista, Paulista. And then they turned into a kind of a, off the main road onto a dirt track with grass up the middle. And I thought, oh, see you later. So they did a U-turn and they drove us right back to the Baptist seminary place we were staying. And actually it was amazing because they didn't actually charge us for the mistake, you know, like they'd actually driven about 40 minutes where they should have driven for 10, and they actually just charged us what they would have charged us. And I'm not sure whether that was God's intervention or whether there was actually kind of a bad plan that they kind of chickened out of at the last minute, or whether it was a genuine Paulista, Boa Vista mistake. And we had no particular reason to trust the driver or his caller who appeared to be high. And so it's kind of like trust is a funny one, you know. Like you trust certain people and you trust certain situations, but that was definitely an antitrust situation. So the scripture at first glance asks us not to worry about our life and what we eat, drink, wear, our bodies, or tomorrow. And then when I started reading that, the question that came up for me personally was, why should I be worried? So I started to look at it from that point of view. Like, Jesus, why are you telling me this, Jesus? You know, it's kind of like a sign on a gate, beware of the bull, you know. It's kind of like, and you don't see anything in the field, but trust me, if you went in there, you'd find him. But, where's the message situated? That'll kind of give us a kind of a clue, right? So it's in the Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount. And I think if you read the Sermon on the Mount, you should get worried. Because it tells us to do some seriously wacky things, like to love our enemies, or not to store treasure on earth, or if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. So it's actually talking about stuff that could actually cost us in the end. So I've written here, if we take Jesus seriously, the cost is enormous. But I'm going to talk about that a bit later on. And priorities are a funny thing, aren't they? You can see how priority shapes people's habits, their finances, relationships, and ultimately their lives. A few verses before the don't worry section, he tells us, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Just think about that one. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For some people, their priority is work and career. And there's some people I know that actually won't take a family holiday because they believe the office will implode in their absence, or their position will be undermined while they're away. I actually know several people like that who actually will not take a holiday because they feel work is so important to them. If they go away, they'll be undercut, somebody else will take over the project, and they'll be snookered. Okay, some people spend every cent and minute they have on travel. Some people get frustrated if they don't make it to the gym every day. Others spend thousands on their cars and polish them daily. Some play PlayStation 2 incessantly. I have to get you back because you got me on the drive-in last time. And even pre-book games before they are released. So, it's a lot easier than we think for people to spot where a person's priority lies. Actions speak louder than words. And that's something that Owen's been speaking to us a lot about at the moment, just as we're kind of meeting for coffee and stuff, just talking about how you can say anything, but it's what you do that counts. The passage asks us to do two things. The first thing is in the negative, as in we are not to worry about life, our bodies, food, drink, clothes, or tomorrow, which all centre around the self. The second is in the positive. We ask to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. It tells us that if we forsake ourselves and seek after him, that the things we were worrying about in the first place will be given to us anyway. So I think the reverse can also be drawn from this. If we seek first our lives, our bodies, clothes, food, drink, and that is our number one priority, we will never move forward with God. We'll always have something holding us back. We won't take risks. The cost will be too great. You'll want to give money to somebody, but you'll think, well, what about me? I won't have money. So God will ask us to do things, but if our priorities are in the wrong place, we won't actually have the freedom. We'll be in bondage to materialism. The thing is, though, God's not saying pretend you have no needs. For he says in verse 32, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And then I found this other scripture talking about birds, because the scripture talks about birds and flowers, how God feeds them and he clothes the flowers in the fields, and some of them are very nice. He cares about them. So in Matthew 10, verse 29, it reads, "What's the price of a pet canary? Some loose change, right? And God cares what happens to it, even more than you do. He pays even greater attention to you, down to the last detail, even numbering the hairs on your head. You're worth more than a million canaries." That's from The Message, by the way. So you won't find that in the NIV. Okay. So to recap, this is what I think the passage is saying is, give our entire attention to what God is doing right now. And I have that written up there. Give your attention to what God is doing right now. Don't be hemmed in by worry and fear. The Message is given an expectation that some of the decisions we make will be kingdom-based rather than what's in it for me. God knows we are regular listeners to WIIFM. Did anyone ever listen to that radio station? What's in it for me? No. Okay. It's kind of like, it's a funny one, right? Because the things that we want to do, and we have to kind of evaluate, is it what God wants us to do? Is it God's best for us? And we need to have that freedom in our lives, just to be able to walk away from things and to give things away freely. And as it says in the scripture, stop worrying about getting, and so you can concentrate on God's giving. Okay. So this is what should we do about this? Or why should we do it? Sorry, I'm getting confused. Why should we do it? And this is not an exhaustive list, okay? This is three reasons that came up why we should not worry about clothes and concentrate on God's kingdom. The first is we've been bought at a great price. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 it says, Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You've been bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So in some ways, we're not our own. We've died to ourselves. When you ask Jesus into your life, a part of you actually dies. It says, the old has gone, the new has come. And so therefore, I think that's a pretty good reason to actually start focusing on what God is interested in. Second is, we can trust God. And this is from Romans 10, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. I just want to put an interesting point on that about shame. Sometimes we can get this idea that if we always do what God wants, everything's going to work out okay. I don't believe that's true. After what we've been through as a church, I really don't believe that's true. I think that in the end, your eternal salvation is secure. I think that God has a good plan for your life. We are very, very free to step outside of that plan. Also, there are other individuals in the universe who also have free will. So sometimes we think, I'll just follow what God does and everything's going to be okay. And I think Anna wrote in the church review notes about somebody said that the safest place in the world is in the will of God. Well, look at Jesus. You know, he was in the will of God. And but in fact, it was amazing what came out of that. But he could have said, I don't want to die. I just want to keep on preaching. I'll just set up a few different things and I'll go around. But if he hadn't followed the will of God, where would he be today? And that's not in a very good place. So we can trust God, okay? Now the third point is, we know the reward will far outweigh the cost. Remember I said the cost of following Jesus can be really high. I forgot to get it off the internet, and this is terrible, but there's an Iranian pastor on death row in Iran for preaching the gospel, and I was going to get us all to pray for him, but anyway, should have. But if you want to look up Open Doors website and pray for this guy. But basically, the cost far outweighs the price that we have to pay. And down through the years, I've heard this statistic that in the last century just gone by, more people were martyred for Jesus Christ than were in the other centuries from Jesus' birth right up to then. And so across the world, the gospel is advancing because people are actually standing up and actually being butchered for the gospel. So, but why do people do that? Why would Stephen like not say, oh, I'm not with Jesus, and deny him, you know. And it's because he knew that the cost and the price were not equal at all, that the glory that he has now sitting there with Jesus is amazing. Okay, so this is in Matthew 19, verse 27. This is about Peter. Peter kind of, and apparently Andrew used this morning, but Peter was kind of saying, like, what's the deal? What do we get if we follow you? We've given up everything here, Lord. So it says, Peter answered him, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? Jesus said, I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his righteous throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. So that's one of the points there. Don't worry about missing out. Somebody said to me a couple of years ago, why are you working in the church? You could be like in an office and you'd have a really kind of cool sports car and, well, kind of maybe fantasy land there. But they're kind of saying, like, why aren't you in a job where you're going to get promoted and you're going to be able to buy a bigger house and bigger car and all that kind of stuff? And I just said, because I'm stupid. But but like sometimes we make different decisions. But the last bit of this talk, if you're relieved to hear, is how should we do it? Okay. So how should we live for the kingdom and put Jesus first and not worry about our clothes and not worry about our food and all that kind of stuff? Because it's very easy to talk about it, but one of the other funny things about this passage is I've been kind of, a little bit short of the old euro lately, and one day I just didn't have any money. I think it was last week, the week before, and I was kind of thinking, who am I going to mug? No, I was kind of thinking, so this letter arrived for me, and it was in my notebook that I'd left at another church that I was doing a talk at with my notes in it, and inside it was €25 that I had I'd actually spent, but that was like before Christmas, and then it was just arrived there that actual morning. And then Greg Framhouse, who just takes a long time to pay people back, he says, oh yeah, I have a tenner here, so then straight away, bang, €35, so I get well. Okay, so how should we do it, okay? To live for the kingdom, we must die to ourselves. So this is a kind of a scary bit, right? James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. And I just wrote here daily in brackets, because I think the Christian walk is a daily walk. It's not a kind of a, you meet Jesus and then you kind of just start floating kind of into ecstasy, and you know, kind of, I think it's like every day you have to submit to God, every day you have to decide to die to yourself, every day you have to ask Jesus to come and help you out, because it's so easy just to go back on what you believe and to maybe go with principles that aren't really kingdom principles. We had to shoot a video, or we didn't have to, we decided to shoot a video for this, and I had the opportunity to use a videotape that was slightly dubious source, and I just felt that I couldn't use, I didn't think it would have the integrity to actually do a video about not worrying and waiting on God and use a videotape from a kind of a slightly dubious source. But and then I actually had the money then to go out and buy six, so there you go. So sounds like prosperity, doesn't it? But so on Matthew, this is still on to this is still on dying to yourself, okay? Matthew 16:25. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? So that's something you really need to think about, because it's again about the cost and the price, isn't it? I mean, something can look just really nice and shiny, and it can cut you. There you go, like a small knife. There you go. Okay, so the first thing to do is to die to ourselves, submit to God on a daily basis. The second thing that we should do, in my opinion, is we should live out of love. We should live out this lifestyle out of love rather than obligation, because it's very easy to get kind of like almost like a mantle and say, I'm wearing this for God, you know, and go around and, you know, kind of be a bit dour and a bit like, well, I'm actually, you know, fasting for God. But actually the Bible tells us not to do that. It says to put oil in your hair and on your face so people don't know you're fasting, and to give to the poor and seeker, so only God sees that. So we should give out of love. And the nice little story about that one is, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. Okay, and here's the punchline. Okay, then in his joy, went and sold all that he had and bought the field. So he actually did it in a joyful way. He actually went and got everything, realized that it was actually this field with the treasure, and it was worth much more than whatever else he had. And he did it in joy. He didn't go around going, oh, to buy that field, you know, who wants to buy me car, you know. He went around, sold up everything, and he bought that field because it was worth it. Okay. The third how we should do it that I came up with was, and remember, it's not an exhaustive list, is know our salvation does not come from our actions. Okay, that's very, very important, because if we're going around doing things for the kingdom and think actually that it's been written down in a little book somewhere and that's going to be kind of what's going to get us into heaven, that's, I'm afraid, no. Okay, it's not going to happen. Okay, I'm just going to read something that Paul said, and like Paul was somebody who gave up a really good position. He was one of the kind of Pharisees, and he was kind of pretty perfect by his own admission. So it says in Philippians 3, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. So Paul's actually saying here he's lost a lot of things. He would have lost his status in Israel. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. So his righteousness, his holiness, his passport into heaven doesn't come from the fact that he's kept the law, but it's that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Okay. Wow. Sorry, there's a bit of a scriptural roller coaster there. But basically, in summary, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And you can try this out. You can kind of scrape by, or you can kind of get involved in what God is doing right now. And you can compromise, and you'll still sleep, probably. But try it, okay? Try to just really ask for God to come into your life. Really to show you what his kingdom is all about. Read his Bible, find out. So now we have the video, okay? So this is a visual interpretation of scripture, okay? Right? Two things. Watch out for the fact that the I love you sign is held up before the cleansing of the hands. Okay, so try and keep that in your mind, of the I love you sign, but it's actually held up before the hands are clean, okay? And I know this is going to sound really patronizing, but if you recognize people in the video, please don't wolf whistle or cheer or anything like that. I just want to kind of let the video speak for itself. And then what we'll do is we'll sing a song, and then we'll have response time. So you've been very patient. So if the video is ready, we will put it on.
One love, one light, when it's one need in the night. One love. the bad taste in your mouth. Ooh, act like you never had love. And you want me to go without. Yeah, it's too late.
Great video, guys. Well done. Very good. Perhaps the band would come back up. And, yeah, and let's worship. Let's. Why don't we stand and let's worship, and then let's ask the Lord to move amongst us and see how he would lead us.
Join the heavens and